This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:06, Monday, the 27th of June, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shao Ning together with Philip C. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Dr. Frederick Klein of the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies on Ukraine being granted candidate status to the European Union. But in the meantime, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
They closed on Friday on a positive note because the US markets across the board were up. The Dow was up 2.7%, S&P 500 up 3.1%, and Nasdaq was up 3%. Now, over across in Asian markets, also all up in the green, the Nikkei was up 1.2%, Hang Seng up 2.1%, Shanghai Composite up 0.9%, STI up 0.6%, and FBM KLCI was also up 0.4%.
Oh, looks like a very good day for global markets, but I think the real test is whether these green...
Sustainable.
Whether it's durable, right? But for more on international markets, we have on the line with us Peter Eschel, who is the co-founder of Wealthy. Good morning, Peter. Now, let's talk about rates, because after being behind the rate curve for a while, central banks like the Fed and even the RBA have been racing to catch up. Have the recent hikes had any effect on controlling inflationary pressures, in particular the area of food prices?
Good morning to you and good morning to all the listeners. I think it's too early. Monetary policy generally, as a rule of thumb, has a lagging effect of about 12 to 18 months. And we've only just seen central banks moving over the past few months, really since February this year. So I don't think there's, at the moment, enough anecdotal evidence to suggest that rate hikes are, causing downward pressure on inflation. However, we're starting to get monthly reads into the global economy, into things like production capacity, consumer sentiment has come down. And so there are early signs that the recent efforts will, to some extent, dampen the demand. Whether they address the inflationary pressures in the supply chain is yet to be seen.
So then, do you think that the Fed will still maintain their rather hawkish monetary stance and be aggressive in their hikes?
I think one of the most important things that a central bank has is its word, its credibility. And so actions need to follow words. And I think if the central bank starts to move in a certain direction, it needs to balance the numbers with its credibility. And so I think it's very hard to see the Fed shying away from its stance and the direction it's moving in, unless something completely out of the blue comes and destroys the global economy. In the absence of that, I think we'll continue to see rates rising higher. We have to also keep in mind that we're coming off ultra low levels. We're going from ultra low to low. And in the overall context, we are still at very, very low cash rate levels.
How do you rate the Fed's credibility so far?
I think the Fed is probably the most credible central bank in the world, and that's why the US dollar is seen as the reserve currency. I think overall, if you take an overall picture, they have maintained very strong credibility, particularly when they softened the economic impact of the downturn. There have been, some questions over timing, and I think that's hurt credibility, and particularly getting the transitory nature wrong on inflation. They did go very hard last year and say it was transitory when it wasn't. So I think there has been some damage, but not enough damage to dent the overall confidence in the Fed as the leading central bank and the US dollar as the reserve currency of the world.
Okay, let's take a look at oil prices. Currently, when we look at Brent crude, it's $111. It's down 1% this morning, but still, of course, up close to 50% on a year-to-date basis. What's your view in terms of oil prices?
My view is oil is key. I think if you track all two-year interest rates against Brent crude price, you'll see very strong correlation on the way up and on the way down. When we had the pandemic, obviously, it was oil that fell first. Then, central banks saw that as a sign of falling, collapsing demand. And every time oil goes up, it has a self-destructing mechanism built in because, it hurts. It hurts global economies, and we're seeing the fallout from that. We're seeing social unrest. We're seeing economic unrest. We're seeing demand being destroyed. And so I think we've seen a high in oil. I think what really, really sent shockwaves through the oil price was the war in Europe. And unfortunately, in the mainstream press, we're not hearing enough about that war and the impact. And, you know, I think we're not being told the full economic fallout. But markets are smart. Markets are transparent. Markets are pricing it in. And I think Brent crude coming off its recent highs is an indication by the market that demand will slow down. And so that's what I'm watching. If there's one indicator that I keep my eye on, it's the Brent crude price. I think Brent crude sub 100 is going to relieve a lot of pressure for central banks. But at the moment, we're between 100 and 150. So it's still watch oil and make sure it doesn't blow out and maintain monetary policy according to that.
So how sustainable is the current demand in the travel and hospitality sector? Because it's been really a blockbuster year so far, right, with pent-up demand, you know, being built up across countries coming out for lockdowns. So with this sense that demand perhaps might peak already, but with cost pressure still in place, where do you see the sector heading to in the next 6 months?
For me, it's a matter of extremes. I mean, when we had the pandemic, we had an extreme downturn, and now we have an extreme bounce, and we're not near a level that's natural. A lot of the supply chains that were shut down are struggling to come back, and it will take time. For me, it's going to take 5 to 10 years for us to understand what post-pandemic life looks like from an economic perspective. And so it's very understandable that people, you know, having been locked down, having not been able to see their loved ones, their families, do business, all these things, are just scrambling at any opportunity to travel where they can afford to do so and pay prices where they don't really care to an extent because they value that freedom more than the actual price. But at some point, you know, a lot of the supply constraints are going to be addressed because the demand will be there and there'll be a self correcting process. So the most honest answer is I don't know what's sustainable, but I do know if oil persists higher, we're going to continue to have an inflation problem. If oil comes back below 100, a lot of things, wages, supply chain pressures, you know, all the inflation that feeds into goods and services is going to help cushion the inflationary worries.
Okay, another sector I want to explore is actually the property sector, but this is in relation to Australia. Do you think there are serious signs that Australia's long property boom is coming to an end with the higher material costs and accelerating mortgage rates?
I think real estate is a very interesting asset, particularly residential real estate, because while bond markets tend to price in the future of interest rate expectations, real estate prices, you know, people, ordinary people, are probably ahead of that curve too. And what we've seen over the past few years is residential real estate prices in Australia and most other developed economies around the world really blow out. We've had years where we had 20-25% year-on-year growth. And now that has to settle down. And it's a good thing that that settles down because, you know, real estate, residential real estate has a social impact. When you have an economy where people can't afford to pay their rent or buy a house, that has a big disadvantage, competitive disadvantage on your ability to attract labor and migration and for people to live a happy, healthy life. And so what we're seeing at the moment is a moderation. A lot of people are focused on demand, but I'm actually focused on supply. The cost of producing a home, whether it's an apartment, a townhome, or a freestanding house, has gone through the roof. Not just the building costs, but the labor costs and the approval process. And so there's going to be some cushion. And so in Australia, obviously our business is in the residential investment space. And what we're seeing at the moment is anything in the affordable range, anything near natural demand is still very, very strong. Coming off, of course, not as strong as what it was, but in the overall context, it's still great. Anything that's sort of priced for a premium or has some emotion in it is coming off. Maybe 10-15% from the high.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Peter Eschel. He's the co-founder of Wealthy, giving us his views on oil, Australian property, and he still says the Fed is probably the most credible central bank out there.
You know, there's a lot of talk that they are able to push down inflation. I think you're going to see some signs that it can ease. But the question is, can the Fed control the outcome of inflation, the effects of it?
Well, they've come out to say that they can't control two things, which are critical to how inflation is calculated. One is food prices and the other is oil prices, which means that it's rather limited. But the one thing we have started to see in the US is some of these wage increases have come down a bit, and even some companies have already started to cut layoffs. Workers, Netflix being one example, right? They laid off 300 workers. I think, businesses are starting to question margin compression, and that's impacting their future decisions.
So demand, yes. Supply side, question mark.
Yeah. But up next, we'll be speaking to political scientist Wong Chin Huat on the importance of having a political financing bill. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.